You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Oops, that's not the right one. Oops, that's the wrong one. Oops, that's the wrong one. Yeah, how about that? My 61st birthday today. Same number as Homer Ence's Roger Maris.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? So now that we have that little event out of the way, Marilyn Monroe, the dainty little thing she is, singing that, one of my favorite versions of it, we can begin the program. Birthday house today. How fired up am I about that? Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house. Yeah, welcome to the birthday house. Morning comes and you know that you wanna stay. Okay, first thing, let me answer the most oft-asked question I've gotten this morning. Mac, is Kelly resigning? He's been resigning for 2 years. So who knows? I will tell you this, though. Well, first, let me tell you the biggest surprise of my birthday so far. My oldest son, who normally doesn't remember shit, okay, he actually wished me happy birthday already. And know this, he's on East Coast time, so he's 3 hours ahead. But normally, it will not occur to him until late in the day or the evening, East Coast time, to pay the appropriate level of respects to his father. Yeah, and I'm his biological and actual father. Father and dad, all rolled into one. Yeah. Number two son came home last night at 12:30 from playing senior league loser hockey where he scored a hat trick. Felt it was appropriate to wake me up to tell me that and wish me a happy birthday. So he was in under the wire. So my oldest daughter is the only one that has not, and she's at work now. So she's got no excuse either. And just so everybody knows, we take attendance on birthday. Yeah, Catherine will be last today. And it will piss her off too, because when she's behind her brother, that means something's upside down on the planet. So, Good Friday, the 61st anniversary of my birth. That's right. I think my birth certificate says 12:12 a.m. or 12:07, something like that. Yeah, so greeted in December 7th, 1957 at Mercy Hospital on J Street in Sacramento. I think it's on J Street. I'm not exactly sure. So, 61 years ago today. And I had some health issues as a kid. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. Didn't go home on time. Stayed in the hospital for a couple weeks. Back in the day when they used to do that, they'd probably boot my ass out now. My uncle just had... he just had some... he just had some surgery. Boom. I get a picture yesterday, day before. The day after the surgery, boom. Hey, he's out. Like, what? That's outpatient surgery? So, he's my godfather. My Uncle Muggs. Yep. Pizza Hut just wished me a happy birthday. Mm-hmm. There you have it. So, you know, Google, right? They should be all up in my shit today. There should be stuff exploding all over. Because they're in my DNA. Yeah, so, my birthday. Let's see, what else is going on today? Nothing, other than my birthday, right? my buddies in my text window, three of the four got correct already. What's the one you think that hasn't said happy birthday? That's right, the prima donna of the entire group. Michelle Musselman. Yeah, he's the only one. Now, in fairness to him, he may not be up yet. So we'll see. The clock is ticking on him. And so, that's what do I want for my birthday? Next email. Let me tell you, you want to hear my own analysis on Kelly? And I haven't talked to him. I saw him at the Marine Corps Marathon, but... Like, it's not like I email him and say, yo, Kel, what's up? I'm reading this shit. What's going on? I tend not to do that. The last I heard from him was after the Red Sox won the World Series, the Sunday after I saw him. Two-word email. Go Sox. Really? Is that necessary? Okay. You know, one of the things that irritates me is, LinkedIn, all these people you're associated with that you don't even know, wishing you happy birthday. Unless you attach a note, don't do that. All right? One thing I learned from the funeral of President Bush, I've got some comments about the Navy's flyover, too. How bullshit was that? I was so fired up. 21 plane flyover. 21 F-18s. As in 21 gun salute, right? 21 F-18s in a flyover. I'm like, holy shit, man. I've never seen anything like that, right? So, you know, it sucked. Yeah, I was like bullshit. So if you pull it up, you know what you see? You see what? 4 four plane flyovers, you know, and then you see a fifth flyover that has five planes and one of them does the missing man thing. Like, that's like, what kind of bullshit is that? I was seeing it and I was like, are you kidding me? That's it? I'm like, how do you fuck that one up? 21 plane flyover. Let's go, boys. Right? The Blue Angels do this shit all the time. One guy in front, right? And then you kind of, everybody's offset. Got it. We fly a V. And one guy pulls out of the V. We get 4 times 4 plus 1? Come on. How fucking lame was that? So, maybe. Way to fuck that one up. Yeah, I thought that, I saw that, I'm like, no way, we're not doing this kind of chicken shit on the flyover. It's big stuff, come on, the whole country's waiting to see this 21 plane flyover. Oh, 4 times 4 plus 1, oh, 5, 21, they have it. Hashtag underwhelming. Exactly. Okay, so here's what I learned. All right, and everybody write this down, this public service announcement. One of the things that if you were halfway paying attention during the funeral of President Bush, that you couldn't help but notice, okay, was all the people that he wrote notes to and how much that meant to everybody. Now, I don't want to tell you how to live your life, okay? But I'm going to offer you something here. Yeah, I'm watching it now. There goes 4. What? Oh, here comes 4 more. Oh, that's pretty. Here, you want to hit the auto with it? Here comes 4 more. I thought there was going to be 21. Oh, my God. Could we not train the pilots in time? Here comes 4 more. Right, and here comes the 5th. Okay. Underwhelmed completely. Like, are you shitting me? So, yeah, the only part of funeral, I thought the whole, yesterday, you know, it was awesome to watch the people of Texas turn out along the railroad tracks. And again, who do you hear say this in the media other than me? The shit you see on our national TV is not our country. You see all those people that standing out there with flags, with signs, with their kids, some schools bust kids out there to stand out there to honor the president. That's the country that I live in. That's the country I fought for. That is this country. That shit you see on TV, like, that is a bunch of kooks that are so disconnected with the people of this country. It's a joke. All right. So if you watched the funeral yesterday, they put the president's casket on a train. They took it from a place called Spring Hill, Texas, that's north of Houston, to College Station, which is about 70 miles northwest of Houston. And so they took his casket there, where his wife and daughter are buried at the Bush Library. Blah 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 blah. All along the route, the train went slow. It took them 2.5 hours to go 70 miles. So what is that? Not even about 30 miles an hour, maybe less, 25 miles an hour. You know, throughout. So 2.5 hours would be 30 miles an hour would be 60, 70. Yeah, be 30 miles an hour. And so, yeah. And with his, the casket in a special car, no doubt most of you have seen that, that has, clear sides, the honor guard standing at attention throughout. And, just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. But the people of Texas, lining the way, and I saw this in D.C. as well, you know, when they blocked off the interstates, people getting out of their cars, some taking pictures. Veterans, though, you saw standing there saluting. You see that stuff, that's the country that we live in. Those people that work and pay taxes and raise families and the shit show that we see on TV. Yeah, and if you watch as that train goes through those different groups of people, you'll see the veterans in there, right? They're standing there either at the position of attention or they're standing there saluting. Those people, right? That's our country. So, anyway, but here's the piece of advice. Here's the lesson that I took away. We should write more to different people because for any occasion, for no occasion, to get a note from somebody in the mail is something that virtually never happens anymore. And you saw throughout the week the people that came on who got those notes. Now, you can say, well, yeah, he was the president of the United States, Mac. I would tell you that it doesn't make shit's bit of difference. That every one of us, as a parent, as if we're veterans, as leaders, as comrades, as friends, don't underestimate the power that you taking the time out of your day for somebody else. And now, I mean, right, writing a letter is such an extraordinary event, right? If I pull out a sheet of paper, how long is it going to take me to write a 3-paragraph letter? It's going to take me about what? It's certainly not going to take me 5 minutes. I'll time it. I'll do it later today. I'll write a letter to somebody. A test letter. I'll time the whole thing from getting out of my seat here that I do the show from to going and getting the envelope and the sheet of paper, 2 sheets of paper, because I'd like to have one underneath the sheet I'm writing on so it looks nicer. Then write the letter, fold it, put it in the envelope, address the envelope, and put a stamp on it. I'll time all that. Okay? So you have an idea. It'll be a 3-paragraph letter. And, but it was just, it over and over you saw how much that meant to the people he wrote those notes to. Whether it was their kids or whatever. So, you know, George Bush, the elder, obviously was raised right. When you hear him ask, well, you know, God, who was it? I guess they were doing research for his political campaign when he ran for president. And they were going through his military record. And somebody said, why didn't you tell us this stuff before? And he said, it's not something I would brag about. A lot of guys did that. And you heard him on the interview that I played when he talks about getting shot down. He said, look, why is it that if you get shot down, you get called a hero? And a guy who was successful and just just flew back to the carrier, you know, he's just another veteran. He said, yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. And so, anyway. A few thoughts on his passing, and write yourself a note to take the time to pen something to somebody on a regular basis. And it's an extraordinary event. The statement is, I've taken enough time out of my day to write this to you because I give a shit. It's a pretty cool statement, and I think when you watched the funeral, to me it was a thing that kept coming out over and over again, how many people he influenced with his notes. So, and again, it's different than an email, certainly, and how many people have them framed up in their house. Right? Now, not that they would frame yours or mine, But the gesture is a cool one. Is a cool one. So, on this Friday morning, my birthday, that's right, you might hear that a few times today. Good morning to you. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem, and that will make today official. So, the chef will join us today. The gunner will join us today. And I will tell you, if you haven't listened to the interview with Jeff Kenney yesterday, listen to it. First of all, it's funny. And he's an interesting guy. And so the combination of that will leave you laughing. I got text messages from a bunch of people yesterday saying, I'm sitting here in an airport listening, and people are looking at me because I'm laughing my ass off. So put that on your list of things to make sure you listen to. So Whitney Houston with the national anthem. Good morning to you. Oh, I got to finish. I'll finish my thoughts on. Should I finish my thoughts on Kelly now? No, I'll talk about Kelly. Why I think the president's pissed at him. Okay. And again, I don't know shit. I'm just telling you my observation. All right. Whitney Houston, Friday, December 7th, 1957. That's right. That's the date. The date that doesn't live in infamy, but is very close to it. That's right. 16 years after the date that will live in infamy. Very good. I know I always say it, but very good. And this is dedicated to all the active duty people that participated in President Bush's funeral. I said this during the week, but since I was a little kid, I love that stuff. When the nation rolls out its honors, and the most visible form of that is our ceremonial units from 8th and I, from the Old Guard. I don't know the titles of the Navy and the Air Force units. I know there was Coast Guard people in there too. But when the nation rolls its stuff out, the artillery salutes, the 21-gun artillery salutes, the flag bearers, and it's all so perfect. Absolutely, positively well done. And I don't know how as an American you watch that stuff and you're not proud of it. I certainly don't fathom that. But I've always thought since I was a little kid and saw that at President Kennedy's funeral that that stuff was very cool. And it doesn't come without an incredible amount of practice. If you watch the handling of his casket over and over and over again, those guys are down in basements lifting up concrete and metal, practicing and practicing and practicing. But it was very cool to watch the honor with which the nation buries the 41st President of the United States. So this is dedicated to everybody who had a hand in that. From somebody who loves it, from somebody who believes it, it says great things about our great nation. And well done, boys and girls.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major, I'm very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to do a little birthday weather. That's right. That's what it's called on your birthday when you do the weather. Birthday weather. It rained like hell here yesterday. It was flooding. Yeah. Go figure. Sunny and 41 in Quantico, where my grandson is headed to preschool. What's up, Finn? Cloudy and 49 at camp. Lejeune, North Carolina. Commanding generals returning there today after stops in 29 Palms and Bridgeport. Talked to him yesterday. Commanding General, 2nd Marine Division. Major General David J. Furness. I asked him, I said, hey, where are you going to get buried? You're a general and all that. Did they have a secret, like, crypt in at VMI? He said, no, they don't. I said, oh, all right. It is cloudy and 48 in Granbury, Texas. It is cloudy and 45 in 29 Palms. It is sunny and 50 at Camp Pendleton. In Okinawa, cloudy, dark, and 68 degrees in Okinawa. In the El Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark, cloudy, and 60. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is dark, clear, and 58. At the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach, birthday capital of the nation, doing all birthday radio, it is fair and 53. What does fair mean? I don't even know. Like, I understand sunny, partly sunny, mostly cloudy, fair. Like, what is that? As opposed to unfair? I look for a high of 67 degrees under sunny skies here in Southern California today. 68 and sunny tomorrow. And then on Sunday, cloudy and 70 degrees. That is a look at your weather. We will take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check some news headlines. I'll have some more to say about the funeral of President Bush. Yeah, I'll do that. So, good morning to you. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Mac, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I shouldn't even be playing this today. We need to focus on my birthday. This takes the focus to Christmas. Just what the world needs, less focus.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell time and jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square.
In the frosty air. What a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away.
You can tell why I like this, because I can sing it.
Swell time to go riding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around.
Let me read you an email. Mac, the one vision I have in my head from the funeral is Bob Dole saluting with his left hand. Bob Dole is a man. How much does this nation miss the greatest generation? I think since the torch has been passed, to the children of the greatest generation, the nation has suffered mightily.
Jingle bell time is a swell time to go.
James Baker, he's a man too.
Giddy up, jingle feet.
They understood service. I don't think our current political leaders understand shit about service. The only people they've ever served in their life is themselves. They further their political career through fundraising and whatever else they did. Seeing Bob Dole struggle to stand up and then salute, holy shit. Listening to the decency of President Bush over and over throughout the week, how could you not reflect, as you've obviously done relative to writing, on your own performance as a leader, and judge yourself as falling woefully short of the example that these great men, in this case, set. Not that you couldn't fight, because they did, but at the end of the day, they tended to put aside their differences and enact legislation and do the business of the country. Budgets actually got passed in the midst of all their fighting. It stands in stark contrast to what we see today. How, as a politician, you sat there and weren't keenly embarrassed, I don't know. But we both know the vitriol will appear again today, as we begin the 2020 presidential campaign season. God help us. God help our nation. P.S. Congratulations to the people of the state of Texas, to the people of the District of Columbia, to the people of Maryland, where Andrews resides, in the way they turned out to respectfully honor the 41st president. I completely agree with you. That is our country. The question is, how do we wrestle it back from the jackasses that we elect? P.S. P.S. Happy birthday, dog. Thank you. No, hey, well said. Well said. How could you, sitting there listening to all that? Wouldn't you just be sitting there if you're, just go down the road. Jimmy Carter, again, he's last of the greatest generation. But if you're the Clintons, if you're the Obamas, if you're the Trumps, how do you not sit there with sitting there feeling uncomfortable that, yeah, I don't behave like that. I don't behave like that. It's all you can get them to do to show up and sit in the same pew in terms of behavior. So, kind of gross. And I agree. How do we wrestle it back? I don't know. And I'm not optimistic about it, because normally nations don't self-correct. Some external power acts on them, and that forces them, if they're lucky, to self-correct. So we'll see what's in store for the United States. All right. The United States, in fact, an Israeli told me once, he said, you know, you don't know how lucky you are geographically. You have those two big oceans. You have friendly neighbors to the north and the south. You are like a big fat pig laying over here. Nobody can touch you. Nobody. I thought that kind of interesting. A perspective I'd never really thought of. So, we shall see. All right, let me give you my analysis of the Kelly stuff. The thing in France did not go well, right? The president essentially walked into Emmanuel Macron, right? And I think, you know, Emmanuel Macron, I think, owes the President of the United States an apology. To do that on such a public stage, right, to call the United States out on that occasion, I think is bullshit. And if you are going to do it, you might want to communicate that to the President of the United States. Hey, pick up the phone and say, hello? Donald, this is your boy, Mark. Hey, Emmanuel, what's going on? Oh, I would like to talk to you because I know you are coming, but I want you to know my speech essentially is calling you out for America First. I do not want you to be uncomfortable, so I will tell you in advance, and if you decide to send your vice president, I will completely understand, because I do not want to be awkward between you and me, and you walk into something that I did not tell you about. I mean, otherwise, that's chicken shit. Who does that? It's not a political event. It's a historical event. Macron, that guy, in my opinion, can't get thrown out of power quick enough in France. And they're about ready to do that. So, can't wait for that. You know, cannot wait for that. That was bullshit. But anyway, so I think Kelly was, I think Kelly in that was on the side of going to France. That did not work out well. The president later said, he should have just gone to Arlington to commemorate the 100th anniversary of it. I don't agree with that. Unless he got the phone call from Macron, because the only thing Donald Trump did was give Emmanuel Macron a bigger stage, right? So anyway, and then the other thing I believe that has the chief of staff at odds with the president is the director of Homeland Security. It's been rumored that the president is not a fan of hers. Kelly is. And she has stayed in spite of all of that. And probably stayed because Kelly has fought for her. So, there would probably be friction there too. But, that may or may not factor into any of it. Who knows? We see these stories all the time. But in terms of the latest, I would tell you that those would be two issues that would irritate Trump. Now, the stories of John Kelly leaving have been written for 2 years, and he's still there. So, who knows? We'll check the news now. The latest from the Western Pacific: Air Force pararescue and special operations join search and rescue for 5 Marines still missing off the coast of Japan. I think from yesterday's program, nothing has changed. 2 Marines have been found. One is listed in fair condition. The other declared deceased. The 2 pilots of the F-18s that went down. The other 5 missing are all members of the crew of the KC-130, which was refueling the Hornet at the time of the mishap. The incident occurred about 200 miles off the east coast of Japan around 2 a.m. on December 6th, local time. Right now, the rescue effort, Japanese Maritime Self-Defense Force, Japanese Coast Guard, U.S. Navy 7th Fleet, also joined by the Air Force Special Operations Assets and their pararescue people. So, you have them surging in the region, and the operation is still called a search and rescue mission at this time. So you have ships in the region and all of that. So other than other assets joining that search, no additional information. Kind of a little bit of humor story coming out of the Bush funeral. VA Secretary Robert Wilkie offered his own reflection at a department event on Thursday that showed a different side of the president recently passed. Here's a transcript. Quote, President Bush had a very special place, not only in my heart, but in the heart of veterans across the country. I'm not going to be somber on that. I'm going to tell you something that he would be proud of. I got a chance to know him and Mrs. Bush a little bit. They were very remarkable people. Coming from the background they had, you would not expect them to be as comfortable on Main Street as they were on Wall Street. I had just started as a young staffer on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I was working for the ranking member at the time, Senator Jesse Helms of North Carolina, and I received a call from the White House for a 20-something-year-old that was quite an event. The operator got on, told me to hold, please, for the First Lady's office. Mrs. Bush's secretary got on, and she was whispering. She said, Mr. Wilkie, we have something to request. I listened. She said, does Senator Helms know a great American personality by the name of Ric Flair? I told her, yes, ma'am. Senator Helms actually started televised wrestling in North Carolina in the 1950s. I asked why. She said, we don't talk about it very much, but the President and Mrs. Bush watch Mr. Flair every Saturday night. They're going to Charlotte, and they'd like to know if Mr. Flair would accompany them on Air Force One. I said I'd get back to her. I called the Charlotte office of the National Wrestling Alliance and got his promoter, appropriately named Davy Crockett. I said, I have a special request. They said, he'll be there. So, there he was at Andrews Air Force Base, platinum hair, three-piece suit, gold watch, and the first hug Rick gets is from Barbara Bush when she gets out of the limousine. We fly down to Charlotte, we get in the reception line at the airport, and Barry Goldwater is there too. Goldwater gets up and asks the president, where's Barbara? And the president tells him, Barry, after 48 years of marriage, I just lost her to somebody called Nature Boy. That was George and Barbara Bush to me. Their presence will be greatly missed. How about that? That's an awesome story. Ric Flair. Let me just read you a few bits out of a story that talks about the headline. Thousands salute Bush funeral train, 4141 on final ride in Texas. Pretty cool story. People laid coins along the tracks that wound through small Texas towns, so the 42,000-pound locomotive pulling the nation's first funeral train in nearly half a century could crunch them into souvenirs. Others snapped pictures, and elementary schools elementary students hoisted a banner simply saying, thank you. And then it talks about President, or his friend, James Baker, former Marine, his eulogy. As a post-funeral motorcade carrying Bush's remains later sped down a closed highway from a church to the train station, construction workers on all levels of an unfinished building paused to watch. In the town of Pinehurst, 55-year-old Doug Allen left 8 coins on the tracks before the train passed. 3 quarters, 3 dimes, 2 pennies. It's something I'll always keep, Allen said. Andy Gordon, 38, took his 6-year-old daughter, Addison, out of school so she and her 3-year-old sister, Ashton, could see the train pass. Hopefully my children will remember the significance and the meaning of today, Gordon said. Addison carried 2 small American flags in her hand. 2,100 cadets from the Texas A&M Corps cadets lined the road after they got to Texas A&M. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's just a very cool display by the people across this country, and in particular the people of the state of Texas. And of all the things that got said yesterday, I think one of the things everybody saw was George P. Bush, the president's grandson, when he said this, and I think it's something that we should all pass on to our children. Quote, he left a simple yet profound legacy to his children, to his grandchildren, and to his country. Service. And I think that it's interesting when I think that if you want to raise good kids, you need to teach them about service. And I don't mean lecture them. You need to show them. You need to take them and volunteer. And I will tell you this. I mean, I've said this before in this program, but our kids were deeply affected in a very, very positive way by the time that I spent working at Special Olympics and then later on when we volunteered. To this day, they're affected by those experiences. My kids have been deeply affected by delivering meals on Thanksgiving and Christmas to people that can't leave their homes. And like, you can lecture them about a lot of shit, but I think rubbing their snouts in it is more effective, right? And watching it percolate in their brain. Because you don't think they're paying attention, but guess what? They are. They are. And so, to me, it's one of the things that, as a parent, you ought to do, is find ways to volunteer, especially as a family, where you could do it together. And you can introduce them to the rest of the world. And kids now, grow up so insulated, and I think that it's important and necessary to introduce them to a side of the world that their kids normally, they don't see. And it's not far from you in your community. And it brings out the goodness in your kids. It does. It lets them know how lucky they are. It develops compassion, and not just compassion of words, but compassion of deeds. That, no, I'm going to go help. I can go help. And that's, to me, the significance of no life is complete without service. And I think we as veterans, I think we live it, you know. And last night I was working on the, what is now 10 commandments and 2 goals of post-traumatic winning. And what converts coexisting to winning? Service. Serving other people. Easing their pain. Helping them. So, I mean, it's the stuff of life. It's the stuff of hope. It's the stuff of being better. So, top 5 stories in Early Bird before the chef comes on. In a warning to Russia, U.S. flies open skies aircraft over Ukrainian territory. The United States has been busy recently. Sailing near Vladivostok. They've been busy, I believe, in the Sea of Azov. And also this now, as messages to Russia and to China. We're not going to play your stupid-ass games. International water is international water. And just because you say that it's not, doesn't mean it's so. The U.S. has conducted an open skies flight over Ukrainian territory in what the Pentagon is calling an explicit message to Russia that America remains committed to the Ukraine's defense. Quote, today the United States and allies conducted an extraordinary flight under the Open Skies Treaty. The timing of this flight is intended to reaffirm U.S. commitment to Ukraine and other partner nations, a release from the Pentagon announced on Thursday. The United States is resolute in our support for the security of European nations. And the significance of the treaty is that it allows the 34 signatory nations to fly over each other's territory to verify military movements and conduct arms controls measures. So, that happened yesterday. Secretary of the Navy. The Navy's top civilian leader thanked lawmakers Thursday for increased defense funding in recent budgets and then said that returning the sea service to a better state of readiness will require additional funding in the coming years. Quote, I thought I had a good handle on the readiness issue. After starting the job in August 2017, Spencer said, I was completely gobsmacked on how wide and how deep the readiness issue was. Gobsmacked? You don't hear that one much anymore. in the interview, he goes on to talk about how stunned he was at how deep the readiness issue is in the Navy. And that essentially the article says, going back to budgets that begin cutting funding to the United States Navy will take us backwards, not forwards. Next story. Russia asks to jointly operate a U.S. base in Syria. Russian officials have reportedly floated the idea of jointly running a U.S.-controlled corridor known as Al-Tanf, located on the Syria-Iraq border near Jordan, where U.S. troops are garrisoned. The American-led coalition to defeat the Islamic State, though, said they're not interested. General Valery Gerasimov, chief of the Russian military's general staff, said the presence of American military bases on Syrian territory is a major unresolved issue for the forces. Let's take Al-Tanf. Al-Tanf is in the middle of nowhere. All right, so if you go down the Euphrates River to the border of Syria and Iraq, okay, so you have Baghdad behind you, all right, you're going down the river, you hit Fallujah, all right, off to your right, you keep going down the Euphrates, you hit Ramadi, off to your right, all right, you keep going down the river, and then you get to the Syrian border at a place called Al-Qaim. Is a train station. Husayba is the city. You head out that way. You then make a left, and you follow the border forever into no man's land. And there's a route that goes to Jordan from Iraq, from Nowheresville in Iraq, through Jordan. Through a slice of Jordan, through a slice of Syria and into Jordan. That corner is where Al-Tanf is. So anyway, a little bit of background for you. But there's stuff going on out there. Senator James Imhoff, Senate Armed Service Committee Chair, said he used a recent two-hour White House meeting with President Donald Trump, Vice President Pence, and the National Security Advisor John Bolton to urge the administration to reverse course on a planned cut in the fiscal 2020 national defense budget. I'm urging the president to consider approving a strategy-driven budget, he said in a speech to the National Defense University, focused on his priorities for the committee. There's no strategic rationale for any cut to the defense budget, which stood at $716 trillion for 2019. Now, just know this. When you look at the budget, and I was kind of curious in looking at this. Oops. When you look at the budget, there's the discretionary budget and there's the non-discretionary budget. Non-discretionary budget is Medicare and Social Security. Those things are kind of automatically done. The defense budget lies in the discretionary budget. That's why you see it gets messed with all the time. And all this talk of reducing the deficit. Let me tell you how you can look at the world and say, yeah, we need to dial that back. I don't exactly know. I don't rightly know, as they say in the South. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the chef will join us on this Friday, this birthday Friday here. So don't touch that dial. More Bomb Marine Radio coming up next as the chef joins us. Happy birthday.